Hello everyone again. As we started last week, or earlier this week, on lessons learned through COVID-19, or lessons learned through disasters, we come to our second lesson today, which is the lesson to reflect on God's goodness in every circumstance and in every situation in life. You know, we need to spare a thought for those who've lost loved ones over these last weeks and months due to the COVID-19 virus. And we also need to spare a thought for those who are fighting for their lives at this moment. And then we need to also spare a thought for those who are living with deep anxiety and fear through the results, the consequence, or the presence of COVID-19 in our land and in our lives. But also we need to remember to reflect on God's goodness. And I don't think we should feel guilty that we've escaped. I know we want to be mindful of those who have suffered. But nor should we feel, or should anyone feel guilty that they've escaped, or even those that have come through the virus and had no physical or well-being effect. But nevertheless, we dare not forget the goodness of God towards us in our lives up until this point and through this virus. And so it is with this in mind that I want us today to reflect on God's goodness. And I want to read a few verses from Psalm 145. And it says this: I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. So as we reflect on God's goodness, let me first of all speak to you about how God's goodness is defined. Do we really fully understand this attribute of God? The Bible defines God's goodness two ways: by his character and by his action. Psalm 119 verse 60, it says, "You are good and you do what is good." So first of all, this is his character. He's morally excellent, extraordinarily beautiful, deeply glad and extravagantly bountiful. That's who our God is. Think about it. God is the original definition of goodness. He is good in and of himself. That's who he is. That's his nature. Goodness doesn't define God. God defines goodness. He's everything he does, everything he's about, every attribute, every aspect of his character. God is good. And that's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "No one is good but one, that is God," in Mark chapter 10 verse 18. You know, we call things good. We call a meal, that was a good meal, or that was a good holiday, or that's a good car, or that's a good person. But in actual fact, each of these can be have imperfections in their makeup and may not be fully and completely good. Only God is good. But then also, God can be defined not only by his character but by his actions. Everything he does is good. Every attitude that he has towards us is good. You know, God's goodness focuses on us and what he does. The Bible is replete with descriptions of the goodness of God in his kindness, in his mercy, in his steadfast love and his generosity. God is disposed to give human beings beyond all deserving all the time. Have you ever thought of the goodness of God being generous towards you? He looks at you with all your baggage, all your faults, all your failures, and all your maladies in your character and your personality. And all he wants to do is show himself to be good to you and find ways to show his goodness to you. And sometimes, in showing his goodness to you and me, he has to deal with some of those maladies, those imperfections of character. His goodness causes him to be extravagant and to think extravagantly towards you and I. God's thoughts are about you. God's thoughts are with you. God's thought is for you. He has your back. He's there and he's plotting, yes, but he's plotting in ways how to do you good. You're the subject of his affection. And because of his divine nature and all that he expresses comes from an expansive, overwhelming, God-sized generosity towards you. It may just be that COVID-19 and the circumstances that we've been plunged into have caused you to lose sight of the goodness of God. Well, I want to encourage you to meditate today upon the goodness of God. So we've defined God's goodness, but notice how God reveals his goodness. There are a number of ways, and even from Psalm 145 that I've read to you, that I want to bring to you. God reveals his goodness through daily blessings. How easily we take for granted, or even forget, how God has been good, and how we take for granted the daily things which are necessary for life, and yet we take them for granted and we feel as if we deserve them. Psalm 145 verses 3 to 4 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." And then he goes on to say in verse 7 to 9, "They shall utter the memory of your great goodness." That is one of the things that the people will repeat over and over again as they look back over their lives and reflected God's greatness and his goodness. I mean, I think of the children of Israel, the very necessary things of life, food and clothing. Their clothes waxed not old and their feet did not swell. God not only looked after them materially, but God looked after them medically. The only time that God intervened in their lives was whenever they stepped out of line. And it goes on to say that the Lord is good to all. You know who's included to that good to all? You and me. You and I. Yes, even in the midst of this COVID-19. Even in the midst of all this happening in the universe. And in verse 15 to 17 it says, "All eyes look to you and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and gracious in all his acts." Every relationship, every job, every tree, every taste of food that pleases us, every bird song, every friend, every flower, every field are a reminder of his compassions to us. Look in every corner of the world and in every part of your day, not only in every corner of the world, but in every part of your day, and you'll find the overflowing generosity coming from the goodness of God, who wants to be extravagant to you and I because we're in his favour, his daily blessings, but his occasional interventions. Now, let's turn to Psalm 107 for a wee while. Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the foe." And down through that psalm, he gives us a number of scenarios that display the goodness of God. Verse 2, "He delivered them from the threat of the enemy." What's the big threat today? Well, we know the threat of death, yes. We know the threat of dying and being lost, yes. But the threat, dear child of God, of doubt creeping into your mind. The goodness of God wants to supply to you confidence and assurance that you need not doubt God, but see his hand in everything concerning your life. He guides us when we are concerned or confused and don't know which way to turn. Verse 4, there they were, wandering through the wilderness. And they went round and round in circles, purely because of disobedience. But God came and he directed and guided them. God will come to us when we don't know what way to turn in the middle of this pandemic, because he's good. He's a good God and he's your best interest at heart. He quenches the soul thirst of those wandering in the wilderness. And they were wandering because of their own disobedience. And yet God came to them again and again, brought water out of the rock. He met their needs and he quenched their thirst. And he landed them to the shores of the promised land purely because of his goodness. And they were satisfied. And he answers the cries of those distressed by their circumstances. You'll find that in verse 6 of Psalm 107. It says in verse 6, and let me read it to you. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress." What's distressing you today? What's the pressure you're facing? The goodness of God, when you cry out to him, will hear your cry and he'll answer your prayer. But notice, I want very quickly, notice the eternal blessings that the goodness of God brings to us. Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus Christ is the image of the Father. So in other words, the goodness that was in the Father is in the Son. It says in verse 19 of Colossians 1, God was pleased to have all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in him. So Jesus is God's goodness in the flesh. He demonstrated God's desire to pour out his blessing and deliverance upon our lives. After all, didn't he take our judgment and our punishment that was deserved for us? God demonstrated his love, Romans 5:8, toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Does that not spell the goodness of God? God's extravagance flowed to us in the amazing substitution of his Son in our place. His death for us is the undisputed picture of his unmerited grace. You and I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. In fact, we continue in the things that we do to prove that we didn't deserve it. Yet God is good. His nature drives a desire to us to do us good and what we can't do for ourselves. He put forth his Son on our behalf to take our hell and give us belief and a direction for heaven. He includes 1,000 other things in the gift of his Son. Here's what Paul says in Romans 8:32. He did not even spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? The small thing. Yes, there's the great big things, but then there's the small things in life. Oh, he gives us 1,000 other things of the gifts in this wonderful gift of his salvation. But Jesus unlocks God's goodness toward us in new ways. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. Every one of God's promises is yea and amen in Christ. That means all the good and perfect gifts that come to us through our relationship in Jesus Christ. Mark that. All the good and all the perfect gifts that come to us, if they are to come to us, they come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he's thinking of spiritual blessings. Do you not? If I want to understand and appreciate God's goodness to me, I begin and end with Jesus. Here's the third and the final thing then. What are we to do then? How are we to respond to God's goodness today? The goodness of God's goodness of God calls us to respond today. Because if we fail to see and understand God's goodness, or if we allow our judgment of God's goodness to be clouded, then we won't be enjoying the many blessings of his goodness to us today. And this is something that I feel maybe we're losing in the midst of all of this. Repent of unbelief and ingratitude. Romans 2 says, do you despise the riches of his good kindness and restraint and patience, not recognizing the goodness of God leads us to repentance? And it just may be that at this time, as I said in the first message in Lessons Learned from COVID-19 or through COVID-19 is this, that perhaps God is calling us to repent. Repent of being over familiar. Repent of being presumptuous. Repent of assuming that we deserve every blessing and that God exists for us, but all the while we exist for him. Growing through your life, receiving what he has been giving to you without recognizing that God gives it to us. It means, dear friend, that you take for granted and you say that, God, I deserve this and it is your duty to bless me. Stop. Look around you, see the hand of God in your life, and turn to him today, and put an end to taking from God and failing to thank him for it. Rest in his goodness when adversity comes. I mean, we really are in the midst of adversity. We are so unsure as to where or what or how we're going to ever resume back into a place of worship. And the enemy of fear and doubt comes. And seeks to rob us of the joy and assurance of the abiding presence of God with us daily. Psalm 31 verse 19 to 20 says this: How great is your goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you. And rather, we fear COVID-19. We fear the virus. We fear what might happen. We fear about our finances. We fear about our families. And it's right to be concerned, but to turn that concern into fervent prayer. Are we really in fervent prayer? it's more important that we fear him. And it says there, you have stored up for those who fear you, and accomplished in the sight of everyone for those who take refuge in you. You hide them in the protection of your presence. You conceal them in the shelter from the schemes of men, from quarrelsome tongues. God has great goodness stored up for you and I. Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. He is up to more than you know, dear soul. God is up to far more than we realise. And we must realise, because of his character, God has nothing but good for you and I, so that we might be able to accomplish for him the glory that it belongs to his name. And then continue on in the faith. Continue on. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, remind you of those Bible studies. And this I'm finishing now. Remember what Habakkuk said. Lord, I don't understand why you're allowing the Babylonians to come, that gross, indecent, ungodly, wicked nation, why you're allowing them to come. And God never really answered him. But what we do know is we get one of those famous, wonderful, most wonderful texts from Habakkuk chapter 2, which says, "Will the just shall live by faith." If I begin to doubt the goodness of God, then my faith is coloured by my doubt on who or what or the character of God is. But when I recognise and remember and reflect on the goodness of God, I can step forward today, and I can step forward tomorrow, and I can step forward next week, and I can step forward and be whom God has called me to be today, to serve him where I am, because he's called us as this generation to serve this generation. He is us in this place at this time for this generation. I love what it says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for your welfare and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I love what it says in Psalm 84 and 11. For the Lord is a sun. In other words, he illuminates the path that I should take. And a shield, so he protects me. The Lord gives grace and glory. That's exaltation for those who follow him. He does not withhold his good from those who live with integrity. You never miss out if you step out with God. May God bless this meditation to your heart today as we reflect on the goodness of God. And that's one of those lessons that we learn through COVID-19. Father, we pray that our hearts will rejoice in the goodness of God and his blessings towards us, the children of men. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you again soon.